What a, so Lord, I love y'all. Wednesday night, man. What a great day. I love that song. He's an awesome, awesome God. What a great song. Just a couple announcements from the pulpit here. First of all, I love everybody. Appreciate you. Good to have everybody online. Talk to some folks today, and one in Chicago, one in Toronto, Canada. Just people are really thankful for this ministry, and that means they're thankful for you, for this house. So I want to say thank you guys for your love and your support, and continue to pray for this ministry. But we do welcome everybody. Just want to send this little bit of a information out. Looks like I just got confirmation. It looks like the 16th of November at 7:30, I should be having an interview with Len Liaz again. So I'm really grateful for that opportunity, very humbled by that. And so would you just mark that down somewhere, November 16th at 7:30, and it should be released sometime thereafter. Just look for our Facebook page or our website for that alert to come out, and do pray for me that God would give me the words to say and speak to a very large audience. So that's great news. Also, I wanted to tell you, in the way of this property next door, I did get a call back from Mr. Finello, and he is considering it. He said not at this particular moment. He's got a lot of stuff going on. I think he said he's got a lot of fish to fry. I was like, okay, cool. So he's got some stuff going on. You know, we're coming to the holidays, coming to the end of the year, and people are extremely busy. But it wasn't a no. So he's going to entertain the donation of this property, but that's as far as information that I have, okay? So just pray that it just works out for God's glory, amen, and for our good. All right, other than that, that was about all of the information I kind of wanted to share with the house and everybody listening. Oh, yeah, and our party's coming up, our November get-together, tear up some turkey, some fixings, some collard greens. Y'all getting hungry yet? Some custard pie is what Tony said we got to have. Pecan pie. Come on, somebody. Pumpkin pie. Chocolate pie. Somebody keep me going. Green beans. I mean, we won't have rolls, biscuits. cornbread, iced tea. Man. Mashed potatoes. Some stuffing. All right, I got to go. What? Potato salad. You say potato, I say potato. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Miss Sue's going to be up in Pennsylvania, so she's going to get, well, I don't even know what they eat up there. But same thing, I know. They eat good up there. So anyhow, looking forward to that, man. And also our celebration times coming up for Jesus's his birthday, and just a lot of great times. I love this time of year when we can get together. Amen. Father, hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Take out all fear and anxiety and worry out of the body of Christ. Let us walk in faith today, knowing that you are with us, and if you're for us, who could ever be against us? Thank you for wisdom and discernment in our lives, Father. And we fear no man, but we worship God. We love you, and we bless you, and I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the prayer of intimacy. I got to get moving before we all start bailing out of here and headed to Bojangles, and get some good meal. All right, the prayer of intimacy. Last time we got together, I talked about how you live in your private life is rewarded openly in your public life. How many of y'all believe that to be true? And, you know, God really, really wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. And that was from the week before. Then we came up to last week, the secret of intimacy with God is revealed in a desire to be with him. Remember that? So I'm highlighting a few different things. Our life overflows with his goodness when we seek him secretly, following him, so that we can give him all the glory and the honor and the praise. Amen. All right, so that was some of those things. Matthew chapter 6, remember we're talking about this day, the right now, the ever-present help in the time of need. He's Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. He's all these great things that he is. He's the bread of life, our necessity. And all those great aspects about the daily bread, but also what? The bread of his presence, the bread of presence, the show bread, to where we can be in his presence every day and enjoy the blessedness of total satisfaction and all of our needs being met, not to just the limit of the need, but to overflow. Amen. So let's go now to Matthew chapter 6 tonight. And I just did that really abbreviated because we spent some time taking care of some house business and talking about the menu. That took almost 20 minutes. We could have did a whole series, a whole sermon on the food. You know, you can drive the devil crazy with just the genealogies of Jesus Christ or the maps. You can use the maps to drive him crazy. He's already crazy. You don't have to drive him too far. So the prayer of intimacy, let's get on to tonight's teaching about that. Here's a couple statements that I want you to write down and study them out. The journey of intimacy with the Father, the journey of intimacy with the Father begins with trust and faith. I added both because really trust is faith and faith is trust. But the journey of intimacy with the Father begins with trust. It begins with faith. I have to trust him. I have to have faith in him that he's not going to mislead me on my journey. He's not going to take me in the wrong path. I'm not going to get to the wrong destination. I'm not going to get to the end of my life of serving him and realize, oh, wow, maybe I didn't follow him or he lead me correctly. So the journey of intimacy with the Father begins with trust and faith. I got to trust him if I'm going to go deep into relationship with him. It's no different in a lot of ways like marriage or relationships. You must have trust and faith in one another. Come on. There's a whole lot of people that have a very terrible relationship, not just marriage, but relationships, because they're suspicious. I'm about to break out in the old Elvis song, Suspicious Minds. Don't make me start. Huh? It's not karaoke night tonight at Ignited. But how many of y'all remember that? But suspicious. You've been around people who are suspicious. They're always wondering, where you been? Want to check your phone? You know, all these different things. And so the journey of intimacy with the Father is not, it can't be based on that. It has to be total faith and trust in him. God, I trust you with my whole life. Now watch, it's going to lead into this next statement that I want you to hit. And this is going to be the bedrock of what we're talking about tonight. Total abandonment. Total abandonment is the key that unlocks the door. Total abandonment is the key that unlocks the door to the secret chambers of God's presence. Total abandonment is the key that unlocks the door to the secret chambers of God's presence. Watch this. This is where revelation begins, illumination, and manifestation. Total abandonment is the key that unlocks the door to the secret chambers of God's presence. This is where revelation begins, illumination, and manifestation. See, the journey of intimacy begins with the Father, begins with trust and faith. So it is really, in essence, total abandonment. I totally abandon my will and my desire and what I think life should be. I was just writing somebody moments before I came in the service a portion of my testimony. I was emailing, and I remember in my beginning days how that, you know, I gave up everything, my careers, my everything that I had. I gave it up. I just said, you know what, I'm following Jesus. He called me to preach, and though preaching wasn't happening very much, I still went out and preached in the streets and everywhere I could. But my point was this: I had to have total abandonment to myself. How many of y'all know this? And a lot of you have done the same thing. So total abandonment is the key that unlocks the door to the secret chambers of God's presence. We need this again in the church. where we totally say whatever you want to do. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why a lot of churches are not moving into the end time understanding of where we are is because they're fearful of the future and they won't let go and let God show them their destiny. And our destiny is not in the hands of a government or a personality or a people or a denomination or money. Our destiny is in what God said our destiny is. And our destiny is found in the Bible. The prophetic revelation will give you peace that passes all understanding. And we refuse to, and we reject where we're headed because it doesn't fit our comfort zone. I know what I'm talking about because I got people contact me all the time and say, well, my pastor don't do this, and our denomination won't do this, and they won't move out in faith, they won't head towards the prophecies, and on. It's because we don't want our world to be changed. We don't have total abandonment in the body of Christ, okay? And so that is what we must get to. So watch the second part. This is where revelation begins, illumination and manifestation. This is where the glory of God is revealed to us when we begin to say, God, it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about my life and my future, it's about you. It's not what I'm becoming, it's who I am in you that matters. Okay? And so as I was studying this, the Lord took me on a journey back into the tabernacle, and I'm going to speak a little bit on that, and then I'll head into Matthew 6. But one of the things about total abandonment we have to understand is giving everything that we have and that we hold in reserve to God. How many of y'all know that as you progress in Christianity, there's always places God wants you to give a little more of? And it seems the older we get and the more mature we get, the light of his glory shines on areas. And he says, oh, there's a spot you missed. we need to clean that out. You need to confess this. Go ahead, put your hands up. You're under arrest. And they're going to cuff them and carry you away. So yeah, God does that. That's called conviction. That's called the love and grace. That's called the love of God and relationship and discipleship. The same thing took place, if you will, in the tabernacle, or going back to the tent of meeting, whenever Moses was told to put it together, to build it, the people were to give. You all remember this from ISM, those that were in my class, about the tabernacle. You can find it Exodus 24, 25, 26, 27, all through that area. But one of the instruments and one of the furniture pieces, if you will, that God required the priest to put in there was the bronze laver. The basin, which was the place where the water was inside the tabernacle inner court area or the outer court area. Remember that? And that's the place where the priests, after they sacrifice at the brazen altar, they came and they washed themselves before they went into the holy place. They went into the Holy of Holies. They went into that section where the presence of God was. Now watch this. They sacrificed at the brazen altar, which is a symbolic symbol, if you will, of Calvary, of the cross. Jesus is that sacrifice. Then they came to this brazen or this bronze laver or this basin that was made out of mirrors. Remember, the women gave them mirrors, and water was placed inside of it. And the priest would look into the water, and the mirrors would show them the blood that was still on them. And that they would take and they would wash their hands and their feet until they were completely cleansed of the slaughter and of the sacrifice, which is a type and shadow of us looking at the Word of God and going into that mirror of the Word and looking at ourselves and comparing ourselves not by what we think we should look like, but what the Word says we should look like. And the priest, watch this, the priest would have to go into total abandonment of what they thought was priestly correct and have to walk by faith, because when they enter the curtains of that holy place, if they weren't cleansed, they would be dead. Do you see that? And there's so much more to teach on it, but let me get to this point. So it was reckless or total abandonment to even their priestly abilities. They knew how to sacrifice. They knew they were supposed to wash. But they still had to trust in God that they entered in properly. It's all by faith. So watch this. They had to journey in total abandonment by faith into the presence of God. Before they got into the Holy of Holies, they came into the holy place. What was in the holy place? There were many things in the holy place, but one of the things I want you to see is that there were the candlesticks, which represented illumination. It represented illumination. There were several other things there, but this is what I want to capitalize on. Illumination, which brought revelation, which as they received it, they could enter into manifestation, which was the Holy of Holies. I'm giving you weeks and weeks and weeks of teaching in a really short period so that you can get a visual of this in your heart. Okay, so what did I say from the beginning? The journey of intimacy with the Father begins with trust or faith. It's total abandonment. And this is what the priests had to do. And you go back and read all that and see that. Write down Ephesians 5:25 and Hebrews 10:22. Ephesians 5:25 and Hebrews 10:22. I don't have time to actually just read it to you, but go read that. The priest had to surrender himself. Could you imagine that? I mean, you know, what if I didn't do a good job? What if I missed a spot? Oops. You know what I mean? And so there was that abandonment to self that even the priests had to do. But God, listen, God required that in order for them to get into the glory. God required that. And I believe it's required of us as well. Now, Jesus paid the price. We have access. We can go boldly into the throne of God. Absolutely. We get all that. But there are deeper places in God that only being cleansed by his word and being a reflection of that word and having that illumination of the word will give you and gain you access to. It's the truth. And it begins with total abandonment. And just saying, God, okay, I just surrender everything. I surrender my habits to you. I surrender my thought patterns. I surrender. I come into this relationship with you and to you with total abandonment of my own will. Isn't that powerful? Well, let's go look at that now in Matthew chapter 6. Let's go ahead and just qualify that with this particular prayer of intimacy. How many of y'all getting another view of this prayer, the Lord's Prayer? I mean, when you hear it this way, it takes away the rough edges and the calluses and the lethargical ritual junk that people put on this. I don't like religion. Me and religion don't do good together. And I know it don't work for you. Now watch this. Let's go to verse 12, but verse 13 is where we're going to hit. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Remember that? I got to be divorced from it. Remember the word? I got to be divorced from it. I got to get rid of it. I got to push it far away. I got to have the Father's help. How many of y'all know when you first got saved, there was some heavy luggage? Some of y'all needed a moving company. Some bought a little U-Haul, rented a U-Haul, but most of us needed a tractor trailer and a couple, would you say a barge? Somebody said a barge. I needed a barge. Wow. Wow, that's heavy duty. A tugboat. But, you know, we did. We had those issues in our lives, and we carried them. And some of us are still unpacking. All right, I got a couple honest Christians in the house. Some of us are still unpacking. It may be an overnight bag, but we still got a bag. It might be a cosmetic case, but we're still carrying some stuff from our past. And the devil loves to remind us of our past, doesn't he? But we have to remind him of his future. And our future is glorious. And so, we got to forgive. We got to divorce. And then we got to say to people around us, man, you know, I forgive you. I forgive you of your debt. Remember, and I listened to this again and when the statement came up the other day about living a debt-free life. And it still rocks me when I hear that statement, a debt-free life to where I don't owe anybody anything to the best of my ability. I can't help if you're mad at me, but I could do, you know, to the best of my ability, I can go home and go to bed and know I've done the best I could with people around me. Isn't that a good feeling? You know, if I crossed you wrong, I really apologize for that. I want to make it right. But at the end of the day, if you won't accept it, well, I can't help you. Okay? So that's liberating, and I hope it really helped you too. Now watch this. Here we go. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. So let me break this down for you. When he says here, and again, this is the prayer of intimacy. I believe the Lord is being so transparent here. And lead us not. The word there for lead us not, it means this. It means to bring us not into sore trial. Bring us not into, or lead us not into temptation. It means to bring us not into a sore trial. It also means to pierce through with a spear. This is the word temptation and the whole understanding together. Bring us not into. Don't bring me there. Father, I'm in total abandonment of myself. I'm going to follow you, even though I've had the life that I had, the sin that I had. I'm asking for you to help me, deliver me, and carry me, forgive me of my debts, but don't allow me to be brought into a sore trial to the point where I'm pierced through with a spear. Now watch this, because this is really important, because this temptation is not sin necessarily. It is also dealing with trials of our lives. The primitive fathers used to say this. I wrote this down. They would add, bring us not into temptation or sore trial when we can, which we cannot bear. That was powerful. The primitive fathers, the fathers of the day, would say, bring us not into the sore trial which we cannot bear. Save us from the temptation of sins. Very powerful. Okay? So again, I'm going to get into it a little deeper. It's not only sins, but it's also trial. It's also the affliction that we would go through. James 1:13. Don't have time to go there, but I want you to write it down. Just basically paraphrase. But it says that God does not tempt any man with sin. No man is tempted by God in the form of sin. I've actually had people think that. Well, God put that girl in front of me. Oh, you've heard people. I've heard it. God put that man in front of me. Must be from God. I prayed. Well, you know, the devil can hear too. You know, the devil can trip up and counterfeit and mess us up and all these different things and sideswipe us. But James says that God doesn't tempt man with sin. So it's not necessarily talking about sin. So let's look into that. So bring us not into sore trial. It also means to lead us not into the power of it. Again, God, I am totally submitted to you. I am in total abandonment of my will and what I want to do. Bring us not into sore trial. Bring us not to the place where the enemy can overpower us. Don't allow the power of the sting of what's going on in my life overtake me. I'll go through the trial if I need to, but I'm asking, don't let it have the victory over me. Do you see that? This is what Jesus was saying. Bring us not into temptation, the trials and the testings of life. But if I have to do it, don't allow it to overpower me. How many of y'all been through some trials? You got the scars to prove it. Was God there with you the whole time? You better believe it. Did that sting last forever? Not at all. In fact, some of us could look back and say, yeah, that was bad, but I don't really feel it anymore. I don't really remember it too much. I just remember it was a hard time, and I thank God he brought me through. Okay? So lead us not into temptation. Verse 13. But deliver us from evil. Now the word deliver there in the Greek means to rescue. Rescue. Rescue me. Again, Father, I am in complete intimate relationship with you. I am in total abandonment of my life. I'm like that high priest who goes before your word. I look in the mirror of the word. I'm being transformed, but I have this sore trial, this temptation that is coming to me. I have the evil one. I have the enemy after me. I'm asking you to rescue me in this situation. Isn't that much better, if you will, than hearing some Christians cry, groan, and moan, and complain, and bite their fingernails off, and virtually curse God? I think so. I think this is the response that we should have. God, bring us not into that sore trial. Don't let us go to the point where the enemy has power over us, but let us be rescued. That's very powerful. That is a very powerful prayer and a portion of the Lord's prayer where he's asking. Remember, Jesus said, what did he say? He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me if it's possible. He wasn't chickening out. He wasn't trying to run from the cross. He was walking in complete, total abandonment and obedience to God, that he, even in his sacrifice, wanted to make sure that he was poured out properly. That's powerful. He said, well, if it is your will. And then he drank of that cup, and we know what happened on the cross. But he rose from the dead. Amen. He was rescued from. He was delivered from the power of death. Remember, he says, where is your sting? It's all been swallowed up in victory. Woo! Glory to God. He was rescued. He was delivered through. And you put all this together, and you look at the fiery trials of our lives, and you look at these things. And again, so many Christians, and I'm not castigating people. I understand weaknesses. We're all emotional. We all act different. Some of us react to pain differently. And I got that. But so many times you get around quote-unquote Christians who go through a situation and you think they lost their salvation. They've lost their faith. They've abandoned their faith. They've nearly cursed God. They're like Job's buddies. And I understand, again, pain. I understand these things. But at the end of the day, we're supposed to walk like Jesus, and we're supposed to understand this, that God, I know you're going to rescue me through this situation. You see, we're all going to react a certain way, but I want to react the God way. I want to react the Bible way. And if I stay in that mirror, I'm going to react the right way. You know, I'm sitting here as I'm teaching this, and I'm reminded of that massacre that the Amish went through many years ago in Pennsylvania. Y'all remember the story? And how that community was able to forgive. And I remember preaching, I don't think we were in this building, it must have been in the other building, and I remember how astonished I was at the ability for them to go down deep and forgive. Deliver us, Father. Deliver us. Now watch this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us or rescue us from evil. Now, it's really a bad translation. It should be the evil one. It's simply put, the evil one, Satan. So it's not talking about evil out there and everybody. It's talking about the works of the enemy, the devices of the enemy. Say, Lord, I'm in my total abandonment of everything. I worship you in complete intimacy. I sell myself out to you completely. I'm asking you, do not allow me to go through this sore trial to where the end, the enemy wins. I'll go through it. I'll go through it. But please don't let the enemy get the victory over me. So watch. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom. He said, because it's your kingdom we're talking about. Your kingdom. Your kingdom. Not the kingdom of the devil, not the evil one, but it's your kingdom. The word kingdom there means royal power, dominion, and territory. That's important to understand. So when you're going through your next trial, somebody said, you got a trial coming up? Well, you know, life happens. We have to deal with the enemy and the battles and what have you. But whenever that battle comes and that trial comes, you have to recognize and realize that the enemy is fighting you on God's turf. If you're a kingdom person, if you're born again, and you live in this kingdom, and you walk in this kingdom, the battles that are coming to you are on God's turf. For thine is the kingdom. It's your kingdom, not the devil's. God, lead me through this fiery trial, this sore trial. Lead me through it to the victory side, because it's all about your kingdom. Again, talking about Christians and how they act, you would think that the devil owns everything. You would think that there was no victory on the cross. You would think there's no power for today, that there's no faith to live by. There's no Holy Ghost. There's no angels. There's no nothing. You just think that we're living by their own natural force and substance of life. Come on, you got to be kingdom minded. Jesus is showing us this prayer. He's saying, thine is the kingdom, and I am a part of that kingdom too. He already said at the beginning, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So he showed us that our residency is with God. The sovereignty of God is in action in our lives when we're Christians. And when we're in total abandonment, we pull upon the sovereignty of God. And we say, God, thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for pulling me through this trial. Thank you because your royal power and dominion and territory is where I live right now. And devil, you are on private property. Get out of here. See, that's why he said what? He said, submit yourself to God, and what? The devil will flee from you. I submit myself to the landowner. I submit myself to the landlord. I submit myself to the king. And I tell you, devil, you're trespassing. And we shoot on sight around here. Some people beg, oh, devil, could you leave? Get out of here, dog! In Jesus' name. Some of y'all ain't shooed a dog off in a while. I shoo them off, and that tail, whoop, right between that leg, they're gone. Amen. We need to do that. We need to act that way. And all this is found right here. So watch this. Deliver us from evil, or for the evil one, for thine is the kingdom and power. I love that. It's not only a territory. It's not only city limits. It's also power. Now, you know the word for power in Greek for this one is dunamis. Dynamite power. I'm going to blow you up, dog. I'm going to blow you out of the camp of God. I'm going to blow you away from my family. I'm going to push you away. There's going to be blowback, and there's going to be heaven to pay. I was going to use something else, but there's going to be heaven to pay for what you've done and what you're trying to do, because God is not going to allow you to have the power over us. We will be rescued. We may limp a little. Somebody wave at me. We may limp a little. I'm not talking about this crazy Christianity hype stuff that we're never going to have a battle and we're never going to get a scar. We're never going to have. Yeah, we got to duke this thing out sometimes in the natural with issues and so on and so forth. There's a lot of pie in the sky preaching out there that just doesn't match up with reality, does it? But he says this, it's the power. It's the dynamite. It's the power that breaks every chain. It's the power that breaks every chain. I wrote this down. Your might makes me right. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Your might makes me right. I may be going through this trial. I may be going through this thing, but it's not going to pierce me with a sword, because your might makes me right, and you will rescue me from the evil one because of your power. Remember, it's not by might nor power, but by the Spirit of God. In other words, he's speaking of the power of man's flesh. But we're doing it in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to close here in just 1 minute. Watch this. I haven't even changed my watch back, so it's 9 o'clock wherever. I don't know what it is where you are. But right here, it's 9. It's 8 o'clock. Is that what that means? For thine is the kingdom and the power. And the what? Glory. So not only is it territory, not only is it the power to enforce the territory, but it's also the glory, the mighty manifestation of the presence of God. Now the word glory there, and the Greek is the word doxia. I love the word doxia. I use it so much in the ministry of teaching. When I talk about the glory of God, there's the kavod, which is the weighty, tangible presence in the Old Testament, and the New Testament will be doxia. But it's the doxia of God. 1391, by the way, if you want to go study that. Why is that so important? Well, Luke chapter 9, verse 31, Jesus was at the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that? And this remnant showed like light, and that word light is lampos in the Greek, which means like a lamp, a light, very powerful. And he shined, and it was his raiment shined, and everybody that was there saw the doxia of God. Well, the doxia of God is inside me and inside you, the glory of God. It resides in us. It is the weighty, tangible presence of God. It also means splendor, majesty, wealth, and some other powerful terminologies, but it is the presence of God. And so Jesus here is saying, through all of this, but especially right here in verse 13, he says, don't bring us into that place where the enemy pierces us, but give us the victory and deliver us, because you've got all the power to do it. You've got all the glory to do it. You have all the ability to do it. We can't do it on our own. Thine is the kingdom. Do you see that with me? And so the doxia, the manifested tangible presence of God. Wow. I wrote this down in my closing. I said, I trust in you now to bring me, to keep me for eternity. Because what does he say here? For the glory forever, amen. I trust in you now to bring me, to keep me for eternity. Hallelujah. Wow. Watch this. What seems like recklessness and fanatical to the world is simply my passionate pursuit of his presence. A life of holiness, total abandonment of my will. I'll read it one more time. I trust in your now. In other words, you're an ever-present help to bring me and to keep me for eternity. I'm embracing this whole concept of the kingdom, both now and forever. Do you see that? This is what Jesus is saying. What seems like recklessness and fanatical to the world is simply my passionate pursuit of his presence, a life of holiness, total abandonment of my will. I tell you, I wish more believers, and I believe they will come in these last days, come to that point of total abandonment, and to where we say, God, it ain't about us. It's about you. I don't like where my country's headed. I don't like what's happening in the church. I don't like what's happening in the world. We're on the precipice of war. And if I could share more on Sunday, I will. But I just want to be completely in his will in this last hour. Heavenly Father, I've delivered your word today, and I do pray that we would walk in total abandonment to our own desires. That we would recognize and realize that, Father, if the prophetic page churns and my promotion is not on there and my new this and what I wanted's not there and it's time for your word to be revealed, then so be it. I abandon my will, and I embrace your kingdom. Father, I pray for those in Texas, in that little town, the families, the community, the surrounding area, the state of Texas, and this nation, and the body of Christ worldwide, that we would look at this with wisdom. Use discernment in our hour to realize that we have an enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But we have a Savior who is our rescuer, who is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and that we would preach to every person we meet and never be ashamed of the gospel. Father, heal and restore the community and those that have lost loved ones. We honor you, Father, and we bless you here at Ignited Church. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen and amen. All right, we're going to pray.